Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Well, I think we all kind of feel that our society is under a full-scale attack by people, personalities, who are intent on destroying our values, our families, and our lives. And we need to mount a vigorous defense, but there is a fundamental obstacle to doing so. For years, behavioral programming by our schools and media have sought to disempower us, make us apathetic, dependent on the state, and afraid. But before any significant positive change can be made, we need to first rally the troops and empower the people so that they can stand up and make a change. The only way to do this is to reawaken the warrior spirit within. The way of the warrior is the antithesis to the way of the slave. Today we have with us for the third time, Stefan Verstappen. Stefan has done a lot of research on psychopathy. He's done many documentaries, and he was one of the first Canadians to travel to China, where he spent 4 years training under two renowned Kung Fu masters. Stefan has written 6 books on China and the martial arts and dozens of articles for Black Belt and Inside Kung Fu magazines. As an instructor for 30 years, Stefan Verstappen has created instruction programs for children and the blind and has taught security and law enforcement. So he is also known for his videos and writings on psychopaths, as I mentioned, and the madness of our current society. And he always has a really, really interesting viewpoint on these topics. So today, Stefan is here with us, and he's going to be talking about his book, A Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior. And we're going to hear what Stefan's point of view is, and I'm sure it will be fascinating. So let me bring him on. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
Oh, that's good. I'm good. Hanging in there.
I know you have back problems. It's interesting because I aired my show while on my back with my laptop propped up for about 2 months when I was out of commission from my back. So I definitely can feel for you. I know what that's like. It's horrible. So
yeah.
So you're talking in your book about what it means to be a warrior. What is that? What is a warrior in your interpretation?
Well, the phrase "the way of the warrior" is a little bit complicated, because the term "the way" is actually taken from a Chinese word called Dao, which is the word that gives us, or the root for the term Taoism, which is a sort of philosophy, religion in China. So when you say the way of the warrior, you're implying something much more than something that is just a warrior. For example, if you go to the Webster's Dictionary and you look up warrior, it simply means a man who is skilled at warfare or weaponry, or someone who is confident, courageous, aggressive, and proactive in his field. But when you add the term the way to it, you imply now that there is something more to being a warrior than just somebody who's familiar with war or good at weapons. What you're implying is that you are now part of a spiritual path that would lead to whatever spiritual enlightenment you have planned for yourself. For example, in the Hindu writings, the yogic traditions, they traditionally have three paths or three ways or three Taos, you could say it that way as well, towards enlightenment. And the first way is the way of the intellect, which is, you know, study and research and contemplation and visualization. And through these methods, the seeker can seek to attain spiritual perfection. The second way is the way of the heart. And this is where a person dedicates their life to charitable acts, to helping others, to creating beauty in the world through art or music or dance, things that involve the emotions, love and feelings. And they seek to, you know, train their emotional center and find spiritual perfection through their heart. The third way is the way of the fakir, which is somebody who is dedicated to training their body, to disciplining their body. They'll fast. They will spend hours in meditation, and they will, you know, be harsh on themselves and harsh on their bodies and their needs, so that they can overcome the limitations of the body and therefore seek spiritual perfection that way. The way of the warrior is sort of along those lines, but it's different in that the way of the warrior develops all three of those paths simultaneously plus combat. So we have a very intense and deep spiritual path. So it is not merely, you know, training in martial arts or learning handgunning, or it is really a very deep path that involves developing the mind, the intellect. It involves developing the emotions and the heart. And it involves training the body, preferably through martial arts, and doing all three at the same time. And so, therefore, that would be the way of the warrior. And the end result, what we want to create with that, is an independently thinking, self-reliant, courageous person that can stand their ground, think for themselves, rely on themselves, and would be a natural leader within a community.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. That's a lot
to bite off.
Right. What does it take? I mean, can we all attain that?
Well, yes and no. You see, everyone can benefit from taking aspects of this path and apply it to your own path. I agree with many of the, you know, Eastern philosophers, and even with Bruce Lee echoed this sentiment more recently, and that is, you create your own path. So however your natural innate abilities and inclinations are, that will lead you towards a certain path. So you might be intellectually inclined, and therefore your path is through the intellect. However, by applying some principles of the heart and some physical discipline to your path, you can improve your ability to, you know, attain the spiritual perfection that you're seeking. So everyone can apply different areas and different exercises from the way of the warrior to their own lives to improve their lives. For example, I have a chapter on sensory enhancement techniques, and most of these techniques come from combat training, you know, how to develop hearing and olfaction and sense of direction, touch, and balance, kinesiatics, and proprioception. So these are all senses that we have, and they can all be trained and developed to function much better than we currently use them. Most people don't spend any time in learning how to develop these skills, and therefore their level of functioning is just average. But it can be drastically improved. So if you apply, for example, sensory enhancement exercises, which I taught to my blind student, she was drastically able to improve her physical function, her mobility, and her quality of life. So even though, you know, I didn't need her to, you know, go through simulated combat exercises or military training, she was able to take just a small piece of, you know, the way of the warrior and apply it to her blindness, and the improvement in her life was really quite dramatic. She went from being a frightened woman that stayed alone in her house all day long, cowering more or less in the corner, fearful to go out, to somebody that was confident and went out and traveled around and used her white cane to go downtown and do her own shopping and things like that. And so the improvement in life was huge. And the same thing for anyone who is following a spiritual path or just wants to improve their life and their functioning in life. You can take many of the aspects from the warrior's way and apply them to your life. Create your own way, you know, do what feels best for you to do and what you need to do for your point in life and for your talents and skills. But to become an ultimate warrior, unfortunately, you need one other dimension of training. A true warrior must have had to face danger and fear and overcome them. You really can't fully grasp this path without having faced danger and overcome your own fears, because that is one of the duties of a warrior, is to be able to face the dark side of society. And that's a pretty ugly view, and not a lot of people have the guts to do it. And so you have to be pretty strong. You have to be courageous, and you have to be tough-minded to take a look at our society and see what's going on and face it and try to stand up against it. I mean, that takes a lot of skill and a lot of toughness. And you can't do that unless you already have some previous experience facing danger and overcoming your own fear. So while everyone can benefit, absolutely. Everyone can benefit from taking a Pilates class too, you know. But to really become a warrior, we need people that are used to danger and fear and used to dealing with it. So that's what we need in our society.
Now, what's confusing me is the warrior's mentality, because if the warrior is looking at society from the point of view of darkness and all the things that can happen in society, does that take away their potential to be a positive thinking person?
Oh, no, absolutely not. As
okay,
a matter of
so
fact,
can you explain
it enhances
that?
It.
Okay.
Well, I think, you know, what I see around me these days is a lot of fear. And that fear is destroying any spiritual positiveness you can get from life. I mean, how can you enjoy life if you're always cowering in fear? How can you, you know, improve your state of mind if fear is always an undercurrent? So the warrior, far from being afraid, turns and faces it. It's tough to do, yes, but once you've acquired that skill of facing fear and overcoming that fear in your life, then you can really grow spiritually, because that is no longer an issue. That's no longer a ball and chain that's holding you back and holding you down and poisoning your thinking. Because when people are afraid, they, you know, their thinking is poisoned by that fear. They're going to be intimidated and inhibited and cowered, and they won't take the risks, they won't take the chances, they won't make the efforts. Well, you can't get anywhere in life or on any other spiritual path if you don't make efforts and take risks. And so without fear holding you back, a warrior is much better able to live a fuller and more positive life.
Okay. So what keeps coming to mind is I keep thinking about these situations where these terrorists walk into a group where there could be 100 or more people in the group, and they somehow take control of an entire situation. And never having been, thank God, in one of these situations, logic would say to me, wouldn't someone go after this? Wouldn't the spirit of survival be enough for them to take this person down? And so the only thing that I can think of is that it's fear that prevents them from being able to act at a time where they possibly could save many lives. What is your perspective on that?
Well, and that's, you know, you're hitting on the reason why I'm writing this book. And the problem is with our modern society is that our governments have for at least 60 years and possibly longer been doing everything in their power to emasculate men and to cower the population and to instill fear and to avoid teaching any skills that would empower people or give them a confidence in their own abilities, so that we've reached a point now where our society consists of two types of creatures. There's sheep and there's wolves. No offense to the wolves, because I love wolves, but just to make an analogy, what we don't have are any sheepdogs. Now, a sheepdog is like a wolf. It belongs to the same category. In other words, it's a big animal, and it can cause pain, and it can take on the wolves, and its job is to protect the sheep. We don't have any sheepdogs. The reason we don't have any sheepdogs in our society is because our governments have done everything in their power through, you know, education system, through media, through fluoride in the water, through the vaccinations, through political correctness, through feminism, through cultural Marxism, through media and television and movies, have done everything to remove the alpha dogs, the sheep dogs, the guard dogs from our society. So now we have sheep and wolves. That's it. So when a wolf moves in among a sheep, a herd of sheep, yes, all the sheep cower and run, and they all offer up their throats to the wolf. That's what happens. And that's why I'm saying, you know, we need to, not everybody can be a warrior, and not everybody can be a sheepdog. There is about 20% of the population, through genetics or whatever reason, that are naturally born to be leaders in our society. They are the natural born leaders. And again, they're about 20%. These natural born leaders in our society were the men and women that could think for themselves, that weren't swayed by public opinion, that didn't go along with groupthink, that didn't just cave into the slightest pressure from, you know, the mob. These were the people that were courageous, spoke their own mind, didn't fall for all the nonsense and the propaganda that is being spewed out every second of every day by the media and government, and they were the ones that could stand up to the madness. And then the sheep could say, well, look, there's somebody standing up to this, maybe we should get behind him, and then the wolves will have to go through him before they can get to us. And so they formed leaders within the community. Within a society, you had a certain number of people that were natural-born leaders, warriors that would stand up against the nonsense. Now, after 100 years of programming and training and elimination and wars these people are gone. We have no more natural leaders in our society. We have national leaders, psychopathic entities that are funded and promoted by even worse psychopathic entities. But look at the current crop of, you know, candidates for president. Would you trust any of them to lead a Boy Scout troop into an overnight hike in the woods? You know, can you imagine Hillary with a backpack and a Boy Scout troop? These aren't leaders. Can you imagine Trump with a Boy Scout troop? Okay, we're going to canoe through the woods for a day. Could you imagine these people taking responsibility of 12-year-olds and ensuring their safety and leadership? Right?
That's absolutely
true. They're not leaders. Obama? my God. I wouldn't trust Obama to walk my dog. You know, these
right.
people have no leadership skills whatsoever. They're not leaders. People have lost the entire concept of what leadership is. We don't even know one when we see one, because there hasn't been a real leader paraded in front of the American public in over 100 years. I'm sorry, there just hasn't. And never mind all these sports heroes. That's what they portray as leaders. Well, and then it turns out that, you know, with their billions of dollars and their fancy mansions, and then they go around beating up their girlfriends. Yeah, those are leaders. You know, we have no idea of what a real man and a real woman is anymore. We're just a bunch of cowed, frightened, brainwashed, mindless zombies that can't think or stand up for themselves. We need to approach the people that still have something in them, that still have that spirit inside them. And we need to encourage them to come forward and be warriors again in our society, because, hate to break it to folks, we are at war right now. We are under attack daily. The government and the powers that be and the corporations and the banksters are doing everything they can to destroy our ability to think, our culture, our value system, and they're doing it through a multi-pronged attack of media and chemicals and poisons and GMO and education. I mean, we are under attack, and we have no troops to stand up to it. The troops would be the natural leaders, the people within our population that could get back in touch with their masculine sides, their feminine sides, be tough, be strong, stand up to it. It's scary. It's scary. I hate to look at it. But you have to be courageous, you know. And then we have to say, enough of this nonsense. That's enough. So that's what I'm trying to do, Randy, you know, if that makes sense.
It makes so much sense, you know. I mean, my mind is going in all different directions, and
okay.
I can only think of, okay, I can use this for instance. There have been a few really brave souls who have researched ways to cure cancer and have done really, really great work with holistic treatments, herbs, things like that, and have built up a clientele and really shown that they can do it. And then the pharmaceutical companies come in,
mm-hmm.
and they close them down, lock them up, put them in jail. And so how do we become a warrior that can overcome, you know, the powers that be in our environment, in our you know, society? How can we do that?
Well, that is, you know, the $6 million question. It's, I'll be honest with you, Randy, we're almost pretty much hopelessly defeated already. You know, I'm trying with this book to, and it's not just me, there's many other thinkers and speakers out there like Max Egan and Zen Gardner and David Whitehead that are also promoting the warrior ethic. I think Jay Widener is also talking about, you know, the need to get in touch with the warrior spirit. It's not just me. There's many independent thinkers and activists that are trying to fight this tyranny, this slavery that we are being surely led into by, again, trying to revive this concept. It's not going to be easy. We're pretty much doomed. But if there is a chance, it can only come from individuals getting in touch with their own spirit again. We have to believe in ourselves. And the way of the warrior is difficult, but because you requires you to do actions. You have to take active steps to become a warrior. So this is not like, you know, we have, I've always been very interested in New Age philosophies. I've studied it from an early age. But I have to say that there is a deficiency, there is a weakness with the New Age philosophies, and that it tends to all be too cerebral. And this is, you know, reflected in our school programs where everybody wins a medal, nobody loses. So, well, if everybody wins a medal, then nobody has to make an effort. And here's the problem. If you don't make an effort, you can't actually learn a skill. If you don't have a skill, then no matter how many gold stars and awards and diplomas you have on your wall, you didn't earn it. And so that confidence is a false confidence. What I'm talking about is instilling confidence by actually doing, building, creating things, experiencing life that requires you to take chances, to work your body, work your mind, work your heart, and accomplish things. Then you develop that confidence. So if you just sit there at the desk and you think happy thoughts in your head and you think that is going to change the world, I got news for you. That's not going to change the world. Sitting and thinking thoughts in your head is not going to do it. And I know there's a lot of people that will argue with me. Here's what will do it. Learn how to go, how to paddle a canoe and spend a week in the woods. It is tough work, you know, portaging, setting up camp, building fires, carrying the canoe, paddling. You know, it's physical work. It's mentally demanding. You need to learn a lot of skills for that. But let me tell you that at the end of that week, the confidence you'll feel at overcoming your own limitations, at exerting yourself to such a degree, is a confidence that is ingrained within you, that will provide courage. So, you know, you can sit in the chair and think happy thoughts or chant or listen to the magic bells or whatever. but, you know, and everybody can pat you on the back and you can feel quite morally superior to the world because, after all, you've had happy thoughts. You know, that is useless in the real world. I'm sorry, folks. The real world is a big, bad, dangerous place sometimes. And if you need, if you're going to have the confidence and the courage to face the big bad wolf, you need to have spent some time around wolves or some time in the forest. So taking a self-defense course, you know, take a weekend self-defense course. Yeah, you have to, you know, sweat and you might get a couple of bruises, but those bruises will build more character and courage in you than all the time, you know, than a month of sitting in a yurt lighting incense, you know. So that's what I'm talking, you know. We've gotten too cerebral. You know, we have to get back in touch with reality, which is a physical reality, too. We can't just, you know, ignore that side of life. So, yes, that is the steps we need to take. We need to do something physical. We need to challenge ourselves. We need to go out and learn skills. Learn how to cook if you're a man and you don't know how to cook. Learn how to cook a meal. Learn how to cook a meal over a campfire. Learn how to bake a pie in a fire pit, you know. These are real world, real activities where your senses are engaged, your body is engaged. You have to think about it, you have to feel it, you have to smell it and taste it. This is what builds character and what builds courage, and the courage that will be needed to stand up. Without this, forget about it. I don't want anybody to stand up against the system or try to fight the evil powers that be if you don't have this, because it is a losing battle. The famous strategist Sun Tzu wrote, the key to victory is never fight a battle you can't win. And currently, our society is not going to survive. We don't have people that have what it takes to win. So we have to develop that in ourselves. Or otherwise, we're doomed. Otherwise, we're doomed.
You're making, I mean, everything that you say is so true. It makes so much sense, Stefan. And it's a little bit scary to know that these people, these warriors, do not exist in our society. Yeah, I was kind of intrigued by my son, who is 24, and he, right after the Orlando thing, I was talking to him, you know, the Orlando terrorist attack, and I was talking to him about it, and he said that he had actually gone on to a site which taught what to do should you be involved in one of these situations and how to take these terrorists down. And I was so proud of him for taking that approach while everybody else is going, oh, my gosh, oh, no, look what's happening, oh, fear, 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 fear. I was thinking, this is so amazing that he's already figured out if he were in a situation like this what he would do. Exactly. And I think that is sort of what you're saying.
Absolutely. And that is a brilliant idea, because here's what happens. The military, when they train people, understand this, that if you don't have a plan, you will panic. So if there's an emergency situation, you haven't ever given a thought in your life to what you would do under such a condition, then when that emergency happens, you will be useless. You will panic. And when you panic, you can't think. So you might as well just be a zombie. That's why when a gunman walks into a room, nobody has a plan. So they all panic. And when they all panic, everybody is that gunman's bitch. That's what happens. There's nobody to excuse my language. But there's nobody to stand up for that. You know, that's the way it is. The first step we need to do is make some kind of a plan. Now, in my other book on, you know, urban survival, I talk about making a plan on what to do if there's a blackout, or if there's martial law, or if there's a natural disaster, so that if something like that happens, you have a plan and you have some equipment and you know of what to do. Simply the fact that you do have a plan, even if you're not able to implement it, it's not important whether or not you're actually able to execute all the plans you might have. The important factor is having a plan which prevents panic, which therefore allows you to think in the situation. And I can tell you from experience that your single most important survival instinct is to be able to think and act while in the situation, right? Because
right.
You might have a plan, oh, if he does this, I'll do that. Well, real life never follows those plans, okay? But in real life, if you're thinking clearly and you're observing the events unfold and you are reacting quickly, then it doesn't matter what they do, because you will react accordingly. You will, you know, employ the appropriate defensive measures as they are needed for the situation. So even if the plan doesn't work, it doesn't matter. So long as you stay calm and think your way through it, you have a huge increase in surviving that situation. So, make plans. Take some training. Do some active shooter courses, what to do, you know. Take some self-defense courses. Take a handgun course. Take a shooting course. Study some martial arts. Take fencing, archery, outdoor survival class. Go for a hike in the woods, you know, challenge yourself physically, and not just this, you know, go to a gym and stand on a machine and get big muscles. I mean, what a waste of time. You know, you can develop your physical body by, you know, running through the forest rather than sitting in a indoors standing on an electrical machine. You know, those are the, those are the type of activities that will prepare your mind to stay fluid in a situation. And this is one of the things that martial arts teaches you, and many of the Eastern philosophers say that your mind needs to be like water, meaning that it adapts itself to the situation. It doesn't resist where there's no resistance possible, and it penetrates where there is weakness. And this is the way you overcome. And in the Eastern philosophy, water can wear down rocks. So no matter how strong your opponent, no matter how drastic the situation, if you can stay calm and flow with the situation, you will survive. And it's those type of skills that you will need to fight the system as well. So bravo to your son. Good for him. I hope he continues researching it. There are people that will offer like a weekend course or an evening class on what to do if there's an active shooter. Absolutely take it. Take that class.
Right. And it's a reality. You know, you're talking about, learn to fire a handgun, you know, a firearm or something like that. And I don't know what it's like in Canada, but here in the United States, everybody's so anti-gun. But but the bad guys have
Canada,
guns,
no one
so
has guns.
We can't stand there and just, you know, say, oh, please don't shoot me. You know, you've got to be able to protect yourself. So we're talking today with Stefan Verstappen, who is the author of the new book, A Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior. Stefan, where is your book available?
Well, it's not published yet. I'm still working on it. I just completed a Kickstarter campaign, and I had a lot of people help me out by buying an advanced copy so that it would, you know, buy me the time and resources needed to finish it. It should be available in the first week in August, but if you want to reserve an advanced copy, you can still do so by going to my website, www.chinastrategies.com, and you can order it through PayPal, and then you'll be one of the first to receive it when it's published in August. So it's still in the final stages. Oh, that's why I'm stressed out to the max. I just wrote another 5 chapters. It is a monster book. It is, you know, so thoroughly researched. I've been working on it for literally 26 years, literally.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I originally had a contract, a publishing deal, back in 1999. I had from Weatherhill offered me a contract, a publishing deal, and it fell through because of, you know, some technical details with my agent at the time, and I never tried to sell it after that. But what it does is it is really the full manual, everything from the history and the culture and what is the meaning of the way of the warrior to how to train the mind, how to train the body, and there's even martial arts techniques. Now, even if you don't study martial arts, just reading the chapters on strategy and tactics is already will help you in numerous areas in your life, because that's always an important aspect of life. I'm looking at, let's see, I have it on screen right now. Currently, I'm at 583 pages, not including index, bibliography, and endnotes. So it's a monster book, but it's my best effort to provide everyone with some sort of tool. You know, this is the kind of stuff that really they should have taught us in middle school already, you know. But of course, that's never going to happen because the government and the powers that be would never want people learning the skills that's contained in this book, because these people have always presented the biggest threat to tyranny. Tyrants all know this. They know that they got to get rid of these kind of people in a society before they can, you know, put the chains on for the final time. So, like I said, you can order an advanced copy right now, and you'll get it probably second week in August.
Oh, that's great. Well, good luck finishing that. You know, I just finished the manuscript to a book, and I understand, but my book is about 300 pages.
that's a sizable book. Yeah, that's absolutely
sizable. That's a
sizable
book as well.
Yeah.
And now I'm... an agent has just requested that I write a book proposal, which is my dreaded aspect of writing a book, but it's a necessary. So I'm in the process of
that,
and that's given me a little bit of, you know. But, you know, the fear and the first thought that, you know, that I have when I go, oh, no, I always say to myself, well, that fear just can't be there. I've got to do it and overcome it, and then I won't have that fear anymore. So that's kind of the way I approach life. I just push through my fears and go, all right, that's not going to stop me. Even though I hate it, it's not going to stop me. And then I just move on. And with each thing, you feel so much more empowered and better. But I wish you great, great success with this book. And I encourage my listeners to pre-order this book. Stefan is an amazing writer. He's also an amazing documentarist. And the author of you have 8 books, including The 36 Strategies of Ancient China, The Art of Urban Survival. That's one of the books that you were talking about. Are these books all available on Amazon or just through you?
No, they're all available on Amazon and Kindle and Smashwords and I think even Apple something. So, yeah, they're Lulu. They're all over the place. They're easy to access now, yeah.
Okay. So is there anything else in the last few minutes that you just wanted to share before we end the show?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so much I want to share with the listeners out there. But basically it's this, you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, the problems of our society. There's no end of what I call fear porn, you know. And the alternative media is, you know, largely guilty of this too. You know, we go to these websites, we watch these YouTube videos, and it's just, you know, how bad everything is. And it makes me nervous too. I don't like it. You know, what I see, what's going on in the world, yeah, it's pretty awful. But what you said, how with your fear, is exactly the message that I want to leave the callers with. And I'm going to quote Mark Twain on this. And Mark Twain said, "Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is overcoming fear." And so it's not that, you know, so what you're saying, yeah, you feel the fear. Yeah, I do too. I'm scared. You know, look at what we're up against. Billion-dollar psychopathic entities that have the full resources of the government and military to do whatever they want. Wow, how are you going to fight that battle? Like I say, it's like we're Frodo and Samwise, you know, in the Lord of the Rings, walking through Mordor, right? And you've got the Dark Tower and everybody arrayed against you, and you have to try and succeed. So, yes, we all feel the fear. All of us do. Everyone's afraid. I know when I talk to my friends and family members, what do I hear? Everybody's depressed. Everybody has panic attacks, anxiety attacks. But here's the thing. We have to push through it. Yes, I feel it. You feel it. But like in the book, there's exercises, breathing exercises, relaxation exercises, visualization exercises. Feel the fear, great, but now push through it and do what needs to be done and get it accomplished. And then the fear will fade. When you push through it, when you face it, it'll fade. It might not disappear completely, but it will no longer stand in your way of living a full and happy life.
So beautifully said. Oh my gosh, I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, this has been an amazing show, Stefan. It's always amazing when you come on. And as you know, you're always invited back with each project that you do, and each one is so unique and different. But thank you for bringing this awareness to us and empowering us that we have a choice in life. And I, like I said, I urge everyone to pre-order this book for Stefan so he can get it out as soon as possible. So thanks so much, and I've had a wonderful time talking with you.
Oh, thank you, Randy. I really had a good time talking with you, as always.
Yeah, we always have a good time. We always get pretty deep into this stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, take care of your back, rest, stretch, do things that, you know, make you feel better. And I, you know, if you need any tips, I've just gone through it, so contact me.
Oh, yeah,
but
no,
anyway.
I went through this a couple of years ago. I know what to do.
Okay.
I'm good.
You
hang
got it. You
know,
you've got the tools. Right. Okay, well, thanks again, and have a wonderful day.
You too, Randy. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So, unfortunately, our time is up for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. You can also email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. So what do I want to tell you? I want to tell you that, next week on the 27th of July, we have back with us Laura Lee, who is a spiritual medium. She talks to the angels, and she's so fabulous that the queue fills up every single time that she calls, and people cannot get through. So on July 27th, 11 a.m., the number to call will be 424-220-1801. And you can hopefully, if you're lucky, get a reading from Laura, and she does speak with entities on the other side. So very, very cool. She's been coming to me, sharing this time with me every month for almost a year or maybe longer. So she's really cool to listen to. I really hope you enjoyed this show today and that you were empowered to become a warrior in your life and take charge in this crazy world. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host Randy Fine. I am also an author and a life issues counselor, if you don't know. I'm signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be.